I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm chapter 17. Psalm chapter number 17. Psalm chapter 17. Once you find it, would you stand with me, please? Psalm chapter number 17. Psalm 17. Look at verse number 5. Psalm 17:5, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I've called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against thee. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Look back at me, if you will, please. Verse number 8 is the verse that we'll consider, the text verse, where the Lord said, keep me as the apple of the eye. The sermon this morning is called Bad Apples. Bad Apples. And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, take what's said in this place and get glory to thyself. Help us to remember what's said and help it to be a warning. Help it to be a help. Help it to be an encouragement. Lord, I pray that somehow there are parents in here who have given warning to their children. And I hope, Lord, that this teaching today will scripturally support those warnings. There are husbands and wives and friends who have warned against the bad crowd. I pray, God, that the teaching today will help us and that it will just support the teaching of separation in our lives. Holy Spirit of God, do a work. May it be memorable, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. I like apples. I like apple things. I like apple pie. Brother Nofsinger was not feeling well a day or two this week, and I texted him. He probably didn't tell Mrs. Nofsinger this. I said, I think what will make you feel better is some hot apple pie and some ice cream. And he didn't reject that thought. I like apple pie. I like applesauce. For many, many years, I lived in an area where they produced a big factory that produced Musselman applesauce. And there were apple orchards just everywhere. And you talk about beautiful. When the apple trees would bloom, they were just gorgeous. I like the cereal called Apple Jacks and apple snacks. I like apple butter. That's good on a biscuit with some nice big old glob of butter and some apple butter to go along with that. I like apple Pop-Tarts and apple juice. I like apples. Now someone said I was full of bananas, but that really doesn't have anything to do with this. I like apples. And God, I think it's a nice thing. God here tells us in the book of Psalms that we are the apple of his eye. I'm going to read another passage of scripture to you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, 15, and 16, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. God is telling us here that we are like apples. And the scripture says, oh, be careful, apple, what you find yourself involved in. Have you heard that old saying, an apple a day helps keep the doctor away? I don't know if that's true or not, but we know that apples are supposed to be healthy for us. And God compares us to apples. For instance, Psalm 17:8 said, and this is one of David's psalms, he said, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. There, God's comparing us to an apple. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 10, it says, he found him in a desert land, and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Oh, there are all sorts of apples out there. Granny Smith apples, crab apples, which is named after a couple of you. There are Red Delicious apples and Gala apples, and they've got some new strains of apples. They have an apple called a Pink Lady, and they are just delicious. Just all kinds of apples. In Lamentations chapter 2, verse number 18, again God refers to His children as the apple of His eye. In Zechariah chapter 2, verse number 8, He mentions again the apple of His eye. So God, for some reason, took the time in the Scripture multiple times to refer to His children as apples, the apple of His eye. Now, I want you to be reminded of something. God comes to the Christian and tells us that we are to separate from the world. We're to stay away from worldly behavior and worldly things. And the truth is, the best of our ability, we're to stay away from the people of the world. Now, we're to tell them about Jesus, and I realize we have to go to work or go to school with them. But God is saying, but I don't want you to be spending all your casual time around worldly people or worldly things. That's where we got the verse that I just read, where it says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." It said, "Be ye not unequally yoked." If you're a spiritual Christian, you should not yoke up with non-spiritual Christians. If you're a saved person, you should not yoke up with lost people. And it talks about have no fellowship. It mentions righteousness should not be fellowshipping with unrighteousness. It said, what communion hath light with dark? Now, light, that's me and you. The light of the world is Jesus Christ. The Bible is the light of the world. And we shouldn't be spending our time around the things of darkness. Let's be careful. God said, separate. Stay away from those things. It mentions Jesus Christ and Belial. It's talking about a false god. Let's be careful that we are loyal to Jesus Christ, Jehovah God. And you hear this said, and I say it from this pulpit. The big old 18-wheeler rolls down the road, and some trucker has on the side of his truck, go to the church of your choice. No, you're not supposed to go to the church of your choice. You're go to the church of God's choice. And be careful now. This isn't a pick the God you like week. No, we're to pick the God that is the holy God of the universe, Jehovah God. Believers and unbelievers, that's a mismatch. We're not supposed to be spending all of our time with unbelievers. It talks about the temple of God and idols. It says, come out from among them and be ye separate. And it went as far as to say, and touch not the unclean thing. Now, remember, we are apples to God. Us apples are to separate from evil things. Us apples are to separate from bad things. There's an old illustration and an old saying. Someone would tell you, if you add a good apple to a basket of bad apples, you'll not fix the bad ones. You'll just destroy the good one. How many have heard that saying before? Okay, it's a good saying. Let me show you what it means. Right there, these are not good apples. As you can see, they're wilted, drained, rotten, and nasty. And what you see is the best part, because what is on the inside is even worse than what you see. So would we all be in agreement that those are nasty, rotten apples? Okay. And this is a good apple. You and I are compared to apples in the Bible. And God is saying to us, separate, Christian, touch not the unclean thing. And if you take a bunch of bad apples and you add a good apple, these bad apples are not going to get better, are they? What's going to happen is the good apple will end up rotting far quicker, and the one that's going to change is the good apple. And it's changing to become what the bad apples are. And you would all say, that makes sense. Now, that's exactly what the Bible teaches when it talks about our separating from those things that could destroy us. Righteousness and unrighteousness and light and dark and laziness separating, or hard workers separating from laziness. So we have the bad apples. We have the good apple. We have the concept that God compares you and I as being the apple of His eye. Now, let's go on. What happens when you add a good apple to a bowl full of bad apples? Well, I thought through this. First of all, nothing happens at first. And that is one of the reasons it's so dangerous. Still fine. I can add that good apple in with that bowl of bad apples, and at first, nothing happens. It's not affected much, if at all. And folks, so you know, many times when a good apple, you, a decent, dedicated, separated Christian, join a group of bad apples, at first, nothing seems awry. Nothing seems to be bad. Nothing seems to be going bad. You say, well, my mom and dad told me I needed to stay away from a certain group at school, or there's these friends that I wanted to run with, and mom and dad say, stay away from them, they'll destroy you. Well, I got around them, and I was with them last night, and I didn't get drunk, and I didn't get high, and I didn't lose my virginity, and I wasn't out robbing banks. Nothing happened last night at all. Well, I can put this apple in there, and today, we're okay. So you thought because the destruction and the deterioration did not take place immediately, that mom's full of prunes. The preacher doesn't know what he's talking about. That silly stuff of separating from the worldly crowd. I tried it, and I was with them, and nothing happened. I snuck and went out with that boy. I snuck and went out with that girl, the one that mom and dad and the preacher or my youth director had warned me against. And hey, I didn't lose my purity at all that time. Can I tell you something? There's more times coming. But what happens at first? Usually not much. Say, a preacher says, I ought to stay away from the worldly crowd at work. Yeah, and some of you spend more time fellowshipping with lost people and carnal Christians at work than you spend fellowshipping with God's people at the church. Whether you want to face it or not, you're putting your Christianity in jeopardy. But nothing happens at first. Hey, you know what? Let me say this. At first glance, the good apple makes the bad apples look better. I mean, when I glance at that bowl, if the good apple's not there, it's pretty obvious. Don't want anything to do with that. If you don't believe me, would someone like to come up and eat one of these for me and illustrate? Well, I know. But this one, now that's a different story. At first, when I add the good apple to the bad apples, it makes them look a little better. Almost as if there's hope. I can remember, I think I was about 14 years of age. My mother had pretty well required me to behave myself as a young man. I said yes ma'am and no ma'am and please and thank you, and she required me to be decent. And I picked a friend that I shouldn't have been with, and I knew I shouldn't have been with that friend. He took me home to meet his mom. She was so impressed with me, and she said, wow, I'm glad he's finally picked someone to run with that's got some sense about them. I, at first, made him look better. I didn't know it, but we had, in our town, we had a place called Rexall's. It was a pharmacy that was a drugstore. And some of you, you're so young, you don't know anything. That's where you used to go and get a pop, a soda, a cola. You go in there and you get a fountain pop, and I would get an oatmeal pie. I'd get an oatmeal pie and a cherry Coke. I had no idea, but he had been told he could not come into Rexall's. But I said, hey, let's go to Rexall's. So he tagged along because we're going to go get a cherry Coke, and I was going to get a cherry Coke and an oatmeal pie. And if you don't like oatmeal pies, you're probably not going to go to heaven. You know what I'm talking about? The Little Debbie oatmeal pies with that cream filling stuff. Those things are good. And God bless whoever it was that made the ones on steroids. You know, they got great big ones now. I mean, those bulky ones. Those babies are good. Well, I told him, I said, hey, let's go to Rexall's. And he said, oh, let's go. We went in. And when we went in, I watched the proprietor, the owner, I watched him watch this kid come in. And he said, Jeff, good to see you. We went over to the table. Didn't say a word to the other kid. Now, we had our soda and we had our oatmeal pie and we left. And the man that owned the place, when we walked out, he said, Jeff, he said, I was so glad to see you, but he's not allowed to come in here. He knows that. He was kicked out of here. Do you know what? Because he was with me, he looked better for the moment. But the problem is, I'm not about to change him. He is about to change me. I mean, that's how the apples work, right? Okay, so what happens when you get with the wrong kind of people? At first, nothing. At first glance, the wrong kind of person is going to be made look better by the right kind of person's presence. Okay, next. Now, I ask myself, why in the world would we ever add, why would we allow a bad apple to get in with the good apples or a good apple to get in with the bad apples? Well, I got to thinking about this. I know, I'll run to the store sometimes, pick up something for Mrs. Owens. I always get more that's on the list. She leaves off things like chips and Twinkies and stuff like that. But yeah, oatmeal pies. I will not be stopped. You know, if and I pick up, you know, the staples, those sort of things. But I'll run home and I'll grab them, and we've got in the fridge, we've got a shelf that's for the vegetables or the fruit. I'll grab the apples that I just bought and I'll shove them in there. You know, I'm not one that's real good about cleaning out the fridge. Now, I'm not talking about, I will eat it out, but I don't clean it out. You know, I'm more than glad to eat whatever's in there, but I'm not one that comes home from the store and says, you know, I ought to clean this fridge out before I put this stuff in there. No. Now, I'll look in there and say, I ought to eat all this. That doesn't bother me at all. But so I'll come home, I'll grab those good apples I got, and you know what? I'll just shove them right into that little keeper. More than one time, I brought good, fresh apples in, put them in the little tray that we keep the fruit in with bad apples. In the same tray. Just not paying attention. They've been there. They've been in my house. They were kind of used to us being around each other. Maybe later I'll get that out of the fridge. Sometimes... You know, an apple can be rotten on one side and look real shiny on the other. And I'll glance in there and I'll say, well, that one right there looks pretty nice. I didn't realize it was flat and stuck to the bottom of the tray. But at first glance, I look at that thing and I say, well, yeah, those aren't so bad. Some of you have people in your life right now. They're nasty on one side and they're kind of shiny on the other side. They've got those good qualities, but you know they're, first of all, lost. Or secondly, not dedicated Christians, not Christians that are right. How in the world do we get in this position? I think sometimes they've just been there a while, and we forget that the Bible teaches there's certain kinds of close friendships we're not have. Hey, now folks, don't get me wrong. I think you're to be good to everybody. I think you're to be kind to everybody, but you're not supposed to be best friends with everybody. You're not supposed to make everybody your best friend, and Christians are to separate. Now, we're to be kind and we're to be friendly, but I think some people take that so far as they're running around with worldly lost people, and they've got better friends in the world than they do in the church. Now, you've taken the good apple and you've put it with all those apples. We say, that's not that bad. We justify. Now, for some of you, there are brand new Christians in this house. There are people that have been saved less than a week that are hearing what I'm saying to you today. Please understand, God is telling us as Christians we're to be kind and gentle and we're to be nice to people, but we are not to be around just anybody with big bulk loads of our time because they're different than us. Sometimes we let bad apples hang around because we're lazy. Or maybe somehow we think they're going to get better. Those apples don't get better. The only way you're going to get one of those apples better is if you get a seed out of there and you replant and start all over. So you'll make the apples better if they get a new birth. But until then, that's what they are. Now, and let me tell you all something. There's no such thing as any perfect apples. All of us. Two kinds of people in here. Lost apples and saved apples, and all of them have bruises. No, we all have bad spots and soft spots. Lost people are not God's fruit at all, though, so you understand. A lost person is not God's fruit. You have to be born again to be God's fruit. But then you can even have people that are God's fruit that look like this, smell like that. Now they're saved, but they behave like the world. We're not supposed to. Christians can let themselves get in pretty bad shape. Now, let me tell you something. When you add a good saved apple, which is not perfect, by the way, to a basket full of bad apples, bruised, soft, weak, do you know what's going to happen to you? Your soft spots are going to be the parts affected the most and the quickest. See, when a good Christian's around good Christians, they help him with his weaknesses or his temptations. So you as a Christian get around a good Christian, they're going to help you with your weaknesses. They're going to strengthen you. They're going to help you to be able to fight temptation. But wait a minute, when a good Christian is around a bad Christian or a lost person, your weaknesses will be the first to be affected by those nasty apples. See, if there was a big bruise on my good apple, and I took it and I laid it in here, I'll promise you, the bruised spot is going to multiply the quickest. That's what's going to multiply the quickest. For instance, if you say, preacher, I'm saved and I'm trying real hard, and I know there's a lot of bad stuff in rock and roll music, and I need to get victory over some of the nasty stuff that's in there. Well, let me tell you something. You take your bruise, you say, I'm struggling with the wrong kind of music. Now just put yourself in a bowl with a whole bunch of other people that listen to bad music. And you know what's going to happen to your bruise, your soft spot? You're going to multiply it. You've just made it harder. Anybody here? And I'm not trying to preach on smoking. This is how you preach on it without preaching on it. But I'm not trying to preach on smoking right now, but let me explain something. Anybody here that's ever had a problem with smoking would tell you, I need to get away from the smoke. When you're trying to stop, you say, God, get away from me. I can't be around the smell. Why? Because that's your soft spot. That's your bruise. That's your injury. So you get around a bowl of people whooping down Marlboro, and you're smelling that, and you're saying, "Oh, I'm going to give in to that weakness. My soft spot is being affected. My bruise is growing." That's one of the reasons why God says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." You're not going to last around all those soft spots and those weaknesses if you put your good apple in the midst of them. And you say, and some people, they think they're so valiant. "Well, I'm going to change them." No, they're going to change you. They're going to change you. And you say, "I want to change him." If you really want to change him, then you get your Bible out and you show them how to be born again and you ask them to come to church. And if they won't, there's probably some separation that needs to take place. Because they'll end up taking you off the firing line completely for God because bad apples ruin good apples. You say, "Well, that makes total sense." Well, really, the whole concept is more scriptural than it is physical with these apples. You say, "I have a lust problem." Well, let me tell you something. If you have a lust problem, then you don't want to be around a bunch of people with a lust problem. If you're a man or a woman and you're struggling in your marriage, can I recommend something to you? If you're struggling with lust and moral issues in your marriage, last thing you need to do is go out with all the guys at work that spend all their time talking about the other women at work and checking every woman out that comes into the restaurant. And here you are taking your bruised area, throwing your hat in the ring with a bunch of people that have those bruises, that have those weaknesses, and you say, "Why am I not overcoming?" Because you placed yourself, the Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." Get away from it. I'm not trying to hurt those apples. I'm trying to save your apple. That's the plan. You say, "I'm having a hard time with my cussing." You got a dirty mouth. You have a filthy mouth. "I used to cuss like a sailor." And I'm not sure sailors cuss any better than Marines. I'm not sure Marines cuss any better than Air Force or the Girl Scouts. Well, I'll tell you something. If you got a mouth problem, a cursing problem, then you spend your time with the women in the break room that have potty mouths, don't you think that your bruise is going to get worse? Absolutely it is. May I recommend you say, I'm struggling with my marriage. Then you know what you need to do? I'd find good friends that are happily married. Find a woman that's not satisfied with her husband and spend all your time talking with her. Don't you think that maybe some of that dissatisfaction is going to rub off on your apple? Find a man that can't seem to treat his wife right, and then that man goes and spends time with a man that doesn't treat his wife right. We're multiplying the bruises. This is a good one for you. Gossip. That's where people just rattle at the mouth. One of the reasons why Facebook can be so dangerous is you say things that you should never say. You talk about things that you should never talk about. And you don't have to look somebody right square in the eye, so you don't feel like you have to, you know, give answer for what you've said. Let me tell you, if you're a gossip and you can't keep your mouth shut, and you talk about things that's really none of your business, then you get around some other gossip, and there's some of you women. Some of you need to face it. You got a big mouth. You can't keep your mouth shut. Well, maybe you shouldn't be running around with the other fat mouth women. And I've learned men are just as much gossip as women. I don't have any preacher friends out there that can say, "I was with Jeff Owens and he was bad mouthing this preacher." You can't find anybody that can honestly testify, and I've been doing what I do for a long time. I don't sit around and talk bad about people. But you know, if I had a problem where I couldn't keep my mouth shut and I seemed to want to talk about everything that's not my business, And I can find somebody else, and I don't know that we have any problem like this in the church. And preaching like this helps keep it minimal. But look, if you got a mouth on you and you can't keep your mouth shut, you got to make your comments and you got to say your stuff and you got to analyze everybody. And look, if you've got that problem, might I say, the last thing you want to do is go fellowship and go running around and have lunch with another one of the fat mouth people. They still use the term fat mouth, or is that something? Big mouth. Manure spreaders. Why? Well, look, if you have a weakness, and we all do, and then you take your weakness and you find those weaknesses, and you're going to find them among the lost especially and the carnal Christian, and you put yourself in the midst of that, the first thing that's going to happen is your weakness is going to be, it's going to be increased. You know what you were trying to do? You're supposed to be fixing your weakness. You say, well, how am I going to do that? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Look, if you have a problem with hatefulness, don't get around hateful people. If you have a problem with your finances, I'd be careful. Say, with what? I wouldn't get on that TV channel where you can buy things, Home Shopping Network. Turn it off! Don't get around those that have those weaknesses. Now, let's go on. When you add a good apple to the bad one, eventually the good one will begin to smell like the bad ones. You can't see that good one is going bad at first. The smell from the bad apples will transfer gradually. If I took those apples just like they are and I put them in a plastic bag and I put them all in the fridge, we might look in there on more than one occasion and say, hey, good apples hanging in there. But I'll tell you what, when you open it up and take a whiff, and you know something right now, after this apple just lying on top of those rotten apples, for those of you in radio land, I'm snorting apple. It smells bad. Are you beginning to smell like the bad apples that you spend your time with? There is somebody under the sound of my voice. You used to be pure, but you've lost your purity because of the people that you've associated with. Somebody's tainted you. Hey, has your attitude began to stink because of the people that you're spending time with? I got to tell you this story. I had the privilege of working with teenagers for a long time, and I've always enjoyed working with teenagers because they're about half crazy, and I like crazy things. We had these two boys, and boy, I said to them, we are going to have a contest. And it was going to be a caramel apple eating contest. And this one kid that was always giving me a hard time. I'd say sit down, he would stand up. I'd say shut up, and he would speak up. And whatever it was, he rebelled against it, just being mean and ornery. I said, who wants to be in the caramel apple eating contest? As his hand went up and another kid's hand went up, and I said, all right, this is going to be good. So I gave them both the caramel apple. I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the caramel apples. We're going to put them right down there on the table. When I say go, you're going to run. You're going to run down there. You tear into your caramel apple. And the first one that can eat their entire the entire caramel apple and is all the way going, I'm going to give you a $10 bill. So I went to this kid on the left. I said, you got to do this. You can beat him. You can do it. You can do it. He said, yes, sir. I'm going to do it. Then I went to the rebellious guy and I said, you can do this. I said, look, he's a wimp. You can do this. I said, here's what you got to do. You start chewing and you eat and you don't let anything stop you. You don't look up. Don't breathe. Just eat and eat and eat and you're going to win the $10 bill. He said, I'm going to get the punk. I'm going to get him. Well, this was the troublemaker. Well, I said, go! They ran down to the end and grabbed those up off the table and started eating. And my good kid, he's eating and he's got the caramel in his teeth. The bad kid like a hog in a trough, man. He's whooping that thing down. The only thing I didn't tell the bad guy was his was a carameled onion. Looks like an apple. And you know something? With the caramel, you don't really recognize what's happening to you And the truth of the matter is, he wanted to win bad enough, a little sour taste wasn't going to stop him. But I will guarantee about 3/4 of the way through that apple, I got the victory. You say, who won the contest? I didn't care who won the contest. The youth director wins again! Do you know that there are some times, there are a lot of rotten stuff going on inside some really sweet acting people. But God knows the truth. God knows the truth. Hey, let me ask you a question. If God wanted an apple and looked into that bowl, which one would he pick? You say he'd pick the nice one. Right. Well, let me ask you this. If God wanted an apple, from which options would he pick? These nasty ones or this one? Well, he's going to pick this one when it comes to using someone. And so would you. If I said to anybody in here, anybody want an apple? Oh, yeah, preacher, I want an apple. Come up and get one. There'd be a race to get this one. But wait. Hey. If I said, anybody want an apple? You say, take an apple. Well, come get it. You'd say, well, maybe another day. You'd hesitate, wouldn't you? You'd say, sure, preacher, if you'll get those, could you wipe it off where it's been rubbing all over, touching and affected by? You want to know why some of you don't feel used by God? You want God to use you? Well, he saved you. He said, now, we're going to help these. God will have to save them. God can clean them up. He might use you as a vessel to help with it. But if you spend all your time with them, around them, and again, some of you parents, you say, well, I'm glad my kids are hearing this. Some of you need to hear this about you at work. Carnal Christian, some of you are more influenced by the lost and the worldly people that you work with than you are your own church. If I were God and that apple were in there, it's the only one I had to use. I suppose I'd take it, but I'll tell you this for sure. If your good apple was with these, but there was one out here that was clean and had done what I had told it to do to separate, and I was looking for an apple to use, I'd pick this one long before I'd pick that one. You know, folks, I think because we let the bad apples influence us, we reduce our usefulness for God. Then again, which apple? Which apple would you choose? Obviously, you'd choose the better apple. How do you pick your friends? You ought to pick friends that are going to help to better your apple. It was very hard for me when I first got saved. I had friends that I'd been in school with. I was a 16-year-old boy. I played basketball. I played football. I ran track. I didn't play tennis in high school because they had little turtles on their shirts. And I just didn't want to have to wear a turtle on my shirt. Didn't seem like the thing to do if you were a football player. And they wore sneakers. And I didn't want anything to do with the sneaker turtle shirt people. But, I had a lot of friends in the school, and then I got saved, and I heard my pastor say, if you want to be used of God, you're going to have to be different than the world, and God's going to want you to clean up, and God's going to want you to get away from some things. And, you know, that was hard for me. But I began to realize that that's what God wanted me to do. And be very honest, I began to watch, my pastor would preach something and he would say, you run with people that are doing this, you're going to end up doing it. And you know what? He was absolutely right. I'd get in the car with somebody, they were playing the wrong kind of music, And there are times I had the courage to say, I can't listen to that. But they would say, this is my car, Owens. You don't tell me what I'm going to listen to in my car. They were right, too. So I finally had to say, I'm not getting in that car. So I moved from here to here. Say, that's lonely. Oh, it didn't stay that way. You know what I found out here? Some more of these. And I'll tell you this. I'd rather have one of these as a friend than all of those. Best friends I've ever had are the ones like that. These would turn on you, turn you into what you're not supposed to be. These, I actually found some friends that said to me, I'm not going to listen to you talk like that, Jeff Owens. I said, wow. He was almost comparing me to one of these. I said, I'm not one of those. I won't talk that way. I got around the right crowd, and it changed my life. You know, most apples deteriorate from the inside out. Do you know once you see a bruise, something's already happened underneath that skin? The yuck, the slime, if you could only see, this is pretty nasty inside. Making you hungry, huh? Bruised and rotten beyond use. Let me ask you something and I'm finished. What's happening inside you? Are your so-called friends helping to rot you away? If your friends are agreeing with your bad music, you got a problem. If your friends are agreeing with your immorality, you've got a problem. If your friends are convincing you to do wrong, you got a problem. Better get the right kind of friends. You say, stay away from those lost people. It also includes saved people that live like lost people. And that's something that if you're new in our church, you'll have to get used to. We don't only believe that separation is between the saved and the lost. We believe there's a certain amount of separation that ought to take place if Christians won't do right. And I'm not talking about being mean or rude to them. There's just sometimes someone that's saved, you need to be careful how much you spend time with them if they're going to live like the devil. You see, it might be that we can't see how rotten you are on the inside. Have you ever bit into a shiny apple and get on the inside and find something in it? I know at least one time I found half a worm. You are also theologically brilliant. I could use illustrations that you pick right up on. Half a worm. Because on the outside it looked fantastic. Now listen. Salvation, something that happens on the inside of you. You need to trust Jesus as your Savior. And then what happens is you trust Him, and I promise you, He will begin to affect the outside of you too. He just does. God wants you to bear fruit, folks. In John 15, verse 8, it says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. God wants as many apple trees as He can get. You all heard of Johnny Appleseed? He wants Davy Appleseeds and Chrissy Appleseeds and Mikey Appleseeds. He wants all of us to bear fruit. Let me explain. God cleans you up so that you can become productive, usable, useful. He doesn't just clean you up so He can walk around and say, look at how clean that apple is. Do you know that we let that apple go long enough, it's just going to rot away eventually. God cleaned us up to use us. The whole issue to me is not just the cleaning up. The issue is we clean up to be used. We all would say, that's the apple I would use out of all these apples. And that's the apple God would use out of all these apples. If you're not saved, you need to get born again. If you are saved, Watch your crowd. You say, I'm going to fix them up. I doubt it. Matter of fact, you ought to know better. Just look. I'd be careful putting myself in a position where I'm going to be around that all the time. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First question is this. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? And I'm not talking about you being religious. I'm talking about the Bible teaches everyone's a sinner. The Bible teaches that there is a penalty for sin. That penalty is separation from God, death in hell for all eternity. But Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried for you and resurrected for you. If you would say to him, forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and be my Savior, and you mean it, God will save you and take you to heaven someday when you die. If you've never done that, then you're unsaved. You ought to take care of that. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, Pastor Owens, I need to ask Jesus to come into my heart and save me. I need to secure my place in heaven by asking him to be my Savior. That's what I need to do. Pray for me. I need to care for that. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to get saved. Good, I see a hand. Someone else, you say, I need to be saved. All right. Then you can ask him to save you. If you'd like to come during this invitation, and we can take the Bible and show you how to be born again. How many Christians in here would say, you know, preacher, I see more clearly now than ever before the importance of separation from the nasty apples of life. Ere it be the lost or even saved people that don't really love the Lord. They're kind of religious but not real. And God has spoken to my heart about being far more cautious about the bad apples of life. Would you raise your hand and say, I see that. Boy, I need some of that in my life. You may put your hands down. If you need time at this altar, we're going to welcome you to the altar. If you need to be saved, you come and we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you have been saved and not yet let the church know, you come and we'll help you to make that public. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You know, there's some of you, you've been around some of those bad apples so much, so long. It's like that bottom tray at our refrigerator. I get a little bit lazy about cleaning it out, or I just see half of it. I just see half of it. I see the good part. I see that they smile, and I see they show up for work, but they're rotten. They're not saved. They don't care about God. I need to be more careful. Do you know that when you're at work and they're telling filthy jokes, you're not supposed to be laughing at them? And I'm not saying you've got to preach a sermon to them. You don't have to climb up on your desk and get your Bible out and thump them on the head. But I will say that when you're at work and they're telling a filthy joke, I think you need to control yourself. I don't think you should send a wrong signal. You're different. Christians are supposed to be different. I said this during my Sunday school hour. I'm very disappointed about the decision of our judges here in the United States of America this week. I'm very disappointed. But I'll tell you this. The answer is not going to come outside the church. It's going to be revival within the church. The church is supposed to be different. The Bible says we're a peculiar people. We're a peculiar people. We're different. I believe in separation. I'm not a seclusionist. We have to live in this world, and we will. We will work. We're to go soul winning. We're not to go and hide in a cave from everybody and everything. I'm not a seclusionist. I am a separationist. We're to separate. There is a way to live in this world, but not be like this world. Watch it, Apple. That means some of you will have to say to some of your friends, I can't go to that party, and I'm not going to listen to that, and I'm not going to be around that. And you'll find eventually that some of your friends, there won't be much association anymore because you don't have that much in common. You're going to serve God with your life. You want a good, pure marriage, and you're raising your kids different. And thank you, folks. Have a seat, if you will, real quick.